ladies and gentlemen, for joining us at tonight's Comic Book Club. Here are your hosts, Pico Page, Justin Tyler, and Alex Salmon.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Pete.
And that's our Man of the Booth, Booth Man!
Hell of a music transition!
Yeah!
How do you do
that? Wow.
It is. Yeah, it's nice to have you back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God's sakes. And your 70s classic rock. We've been mixing into the show.
So, big event tonight, guys. Big event going on.
You mean tomorrow with New Comic Book Day?
Yeah.
I meant tomorrow, New Comic Book Day, biggest event of the week.
Yeah.
There is no debating that.
Yeah.
Oh!
You see what it did there?
What are you punching down there? Are you punching the life out of the joke?
No, it was... To be fair, it was already dead.
Yeah, true, indeed. Big debate tonight. Thank you for coming here. I hope you DVR'd your...
Apparently you guys don't care about the fate of the world. So.
Yeah!
Maybe the answer lies with us. Thank you.
I don't actually know what that means.
Credit default swaps. We're going to talk about all the issues. Bailouts, CDOs.
Liquidity.
Yeah, liquidity. God.
Liquidity.
You should read a newspaper.
Unless it comes in a comic.
News papier.
Yeah.
Well, great. Let's get into it.
Yeah, we should start our show.
A French newspaper? Is that?
Yeah, news papier.
A nouveau papier.
Excuse moi, I'm most rad. That's what they say. I was in France.
Guys, we have an amazing show for you.
Yeah, we do.
A ridiculous amount of guests, so let's bring them all out with any further delay. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Azucena, Mark Samuel, and the Timothy Brothers! Disturbing.
Why wait? We usually wait for half an hour. No, it's the new. We're in a depression. We need to get to the point.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming on the show. Very excited to have you here. Timothy Brothers, let's talk to you guys first. You are still working on Night Owls for Zuda.
That's right. It's been going great for us. We just started our second season this month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also, it's Night Owls Month on Zuda, which means that we're the guest editors this month.
Yeah, we got to pick the people who are competing on Zuda this month.
Yeah, every comic in the October competition was hand selected by me and Bob.
Oh. How was that, having the shoe on the other foot?
It was interesting.
So to speak.
Put it on the judge hat.
Thanks.
Yeah, we got to go through every comic that had been submitted.
It wasn't easy, honestly, because you know you want to select everybody and give everybody a chance.
Well, not everybody.
Well, I did.
Yeah. That's nice. Actually, sometimes it's more fun to read the comics that were bad than the comics that were good. There weren't that many bad.
What can people look forward to on Zuda?
Wow, tough.
What are you guys particularly excited about of the stuff that you picked?
Well, I think we fielded a lot of competitive comics this month.
Yeah,
I think
we're gonna try not to show favoritism this month because we did select them all.
So we want
they're
them all
good.
Good. They're like our babies.
Yeah.
And you guys have been working on another project with Night Owls, right? Which is animated.
That's right. We animated a couple episodes of the Night Owls.
Yes.
Oh, man, wouldn't it be great if we could watch one of them
right
now?
We did that.
Newsflash! The Night Owls have done it again with the help of the Night Owl detectives, police have arrested the notorious space thief known only as Mr. U. But who are these daring explorers of the unknown? This is Professor Ernest Baxter. He uses his vast knowledge of ancient mystery and modern science to fight supernatural crime. This little guy is Roscoe. We don't know what he is, but boy, he sure loves hot dogs. This icy frail is Mindy Marcus, HCS Scrappy Flopper. Get this, fellas. She's single. Now that Mr. Liu has been put behind bars, one of his unfortunate victims has something he'd like to say to his benefactors.
Thank you, Night Owls, for recovering my stolen face.
Basically just to as a way to promote the webcomic, and also because we could. Yeah. My wife just started a job at a new up-and-coming animation studio called The Untitled Project, if anyone needs animation done.
Mysterious.
So yeah. We made this to promote the Night Owls and also to so they could use it as like a set piece. To when we can
a demo reel, if you will.
A demo reel.
Well, do you see, is the plan? Is the plan to have half-hour animated Night Owls Saturday morning cartoon?
Well, I don't know. That would be pretty awesome.
A lot of work went into
that. You can say you want that.
Yeah, we would love to have a Saturday.
Because we're going to give it to you.
Yeah! Where's that animator?
I don't have anything to follow that up with.
Cool. Right. Well, we just did another animation that I think we put on YouTube today. And you can go look at that one. I'm not sure if we're going to do any more, but we did those two, and it was a lot of fun.
Yes, and my wife did the voice of Mindy in the second one.
Nice.
And just sort of to finish up a little bit, checking in a couple of months later, I think it's been a little while since we had a Zuda guest. How's the site going? Obviously, it was a bold experiment when it begun.
Uh-huh. Well, I think this is the last year before the one-year anniversary, last month before the one-year anniversary. Mm-hmm. So I think in November it'll be 1 year. So they fielded a lot of comics.
It's changed a lot since the early days, because now there's like two or three comics updating every day of the week on the site.
Yeah. So I think as we go forward in the future with Zuda, there will be a kind of, when it first started, it was all about the competition. Mm-hmm. And I think now it'll be kind of like half and half. You know, people will go there for the competition and stay there for the continuing series. Oh. At least, yeah, that's the plan.
All right, Mark, let's talk to you for a little bit. Tell us a little bit about how you got into comics, I guess, just to start off.
It started,
50 years ago.
You killed someone.
Exactly. I have this guy to thank, basically. I had been I had the idea for the first book that we did together, Grounded, from Image, and I knew Mark Powers, who used to be the editor at the X-Men editor back in the great 90s period of that book. And but Mark's a great guy. And anyway, I asked if he knew an up-and-coming artist, and introduced me to Paul, and I got in the door through that, and then just Grounded has sort of opened up lots of other doors through DC, and
he owes me his life.
Cool. You got yourself frank about it.
Can you talk a little bit about the genesis of Grounded? You know, the basic idea there, and I guess for people who haven't read it, what the pitch is.
The pitch is basically it's about a kid who goes to a high school for superheroes where everybody has powers except him. And it sounds a little bit like Sky High. That's Disney.
It's not
that's
Sky High.
There's litigation. No, but. It's more of an irreverent. It's an irreverent take on it, so that's the concept. The genesis of it basically was, you know, everybody always says like superheroes, like Spider-Man is an adolescent power fantasy, and I sort of wanted to, what if I had powers? This is what I would do with it, and I was like, well, let me reflect what high school really was like for me, which was like I was the only person without anything special about me, and my mom's in the audience. So due to my upbringing, but
right, and he's cool, right?
But,
super weird.
Yeah,
we'll talk later. I don't know who I'm pointing to, but. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. And what are you working on now? You're working on stuff.
A ton of stuff. Since then I've had two Image books come out. I've had Fearless come out, which is a superhero book. With PJ Holden was the artist on that. It was about a superhero who was addicted to a drug that made him fearless. It's an anti-fear drug, but the twist is sort of he needed it for his everyday life too. So he just had this crippling anxiety disorder and, you know, couldn't function in life without it. So it's basically an extended it's an extended advertisement for, you know, for Paxil.
Great to get a company.
Yeah, so you gotta do that. Then Hazed, I also did as a graphic novel with Robbie Rodriguez, who's a fantastic artist, does this tech.
Would you say that he's better than Paul?
Yes, actually.
Wow!
Very difficult.
Hard-hitting question. Yeah.
I'm just trying to alienate as many people as
possible. Well, no, because we haven't done a book in a while.
But you owe me your career.
When I describe more of the career, then you'll see how little that really means. I'll try to get this real quick, but it's Hazed, and it's a book about sororities and eating disorders. So clearly like the sorority audience and the comics audience crossover. I mean, it's not even a Venn diagram; it just fits just perfectly. So, but it's dark. Thank you, whoever's laughing. It is, in fact, a comedy because eating disorders are really so funny. But it's really so. And that's been great. And then, the doors have sort of opened for, actually, really thanks to Paul and thanks to Grounded.
Thank you.
At DC, I had a Cyborg series out this year. And for those of you who don't know, Cyborg is half man and half machine. He's half black man and half Australian.
That's really awesome.
I didn't make him black. I know there's some controversy about whether it's a choice, but.
But you made the machine black too, which I think is a really.
That was
bold. Making Vera.
You know what? That's come up a lot because he's got metal. He's got like metal underpants, and people keep asking. Literally on the DC message boards, they ask me whether or not that part of his anatomy. I can say his penis.
Everyone knows what a penis is. Out there.
It's important.
Hand in the back.
whether that was like one of the things that was wrecked in the accident. But I know I did bring up the black one for.
There was in Cyborg's origin issue. There was a whole thing where like, I'm sorry, your penis has been ripped off.
It's back
in like the 1980s.
It was.
Yeah, and then they enhanced it.
You know your mom's in the audience.
But you know what? It's she's in the darker.
Penis,
area,
mom.
But and then finally, I'll just say I have Two-Face Year One, which has been next to Grounded, actually, in all seriousness, my favorite thing that I've worked on. It's like really gritty, dark crime stuff, and it's not only the origin of Two-Face, but also of like the cast of Gotham Central. For those of you who have read the Brubaker and the Ruckus book. And the first issue came out timely, right, with The Dark Knight, and the second issue came out not so timely tomorrow. It's coming out. And so if everybody would pick it up, that would be awesome.
It's perfectly timely for your appearance on this show.
And
there you go.
Paul, let's talk to you. Tell us a little bit about how you got into comics.
Well, I used to work at Marvel in production. Which was basically just an excuse to meet editors and bother them every day with my artwork. And so I just did that for a while, and I just kept bugging and bugging them. And then eventually when I quit and I left, I guess they felt I got good enough to start. So, I mean, it's nothing very exciting about it.
That was very exciting.
I'm sorry. I should have practiced beforehand.
You brought animation, didn't you, to show your...
This guy hates
you! I don't know why I got started in this business. I just rent it every day. That's interesting. I just bugged people until they gave me a job, basically, what it came down to. It wasn't anything special or any kind of
So you're saying like my artwork wasn't good, but I bothered a lot of people.
But you'd be surprised how far you can get.
That's the way you get started.
And what are you working on now?
Right now, I'm finishing a Fool Killer series for Marvel, which guest starred the Punisher.
Yeah, you're drawing that for Pete, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Thanks.
That's
right. Pete, you've been enjoying the series a lot, though.
Right? Oh yeah, I picked up every book. I haven't missed an issue.
Good. I'm glad. I wasn't sure actually because it's a lot different than the other artists from the first series.
Yeah, yeah. I thought White Angels was very cool. I liked it. I didn't. Sometimes when you switch the art, it really kind of pulls you out of a book. But
yeah.
I enjoyed it very much.
Okay, good. Yeah. And I wasn't sure about that. It's a drastic difference.
Well, there's your answer.
Hooray!
Wait, can I say something about his art?
No.
Really, this is genuinely nice.
You're really going to slag him off, right?
No, I think that Paul saying, well, it's because they quit Marvel that his art caught on, but I think, one of the really sad thing and part of the reason I like giving him jabs is because it's like now Marvel discovered him and he's too big to work with me, basically, but...
I just don't like you.
That makes sense now. That actually makes me feel a little bit better. But I think Paul, because we're on a podcast and we're in a live audience, we can't see his work. It's a really unique style that I think it goes back to like to Toth. I think if you like Michael Lark stuff, if you like Tommy Lee Edwards stuff, it's Paul comes from that vein, and it's taken a while for it took a while for Marvel, I think, to move away from the sort of hyper realistic thing, and it's amazing what this guy can do with just a few lines, and we have used a great color.
He's pulling a gun.
I thought he was maybe gonna actually
do you have a light pen?
Well, since we didn't bring animation, I thought maybe you'd do a flip. You did have a pad, so you could do a flip book.
We have a light pen if you want to.
Here, you real quick.
This would be great.
Oh. I like your art.
But no, you don't want to do that?
No.
Okay, cool. Well, we're going to turn to our first section, which we like to call the stack. First thing we're going to talk about, Batman 680. What?
Yeah.
What
say no more.
Exactly.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Close.
Yeah, much like the title RIP, the entire series has been batshit crazy. Even this issue, there's only one issue left.
Why is he
still
dressed like the demon in there?
He's the Batman. He thinks he's the Batman of Zen-R. Zer-N-R. Sorry, I got that wrong.
Who cares? What's the difference? Anything could be what it is.
It was a way of protecting his mind from mind attacks. If he ever got mind attacked, he would retreat into the personality of the Batman of
Zer-N-R.
Yeah, and dress in a purple and yellow costume.
You know, that's a legitimate fear when you live in the DC universe.
Yeah.
A mind attack?
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah. I feel like with this book, it's been all over the place. Finally, things are starting to come together, yet you still have no idea how it's actually going to come together. But they are lining things up. It's amazing how he can, the last issue before the issue where it's supposed to end, you're still like, I have no idea.
Well, I'll tell you, back when Seven Soldiers came out, I felt like a real asshole because I had no idea what was going on. Everyone was like, this is the best thing. And I was like, yeah, this is great. Yeah. It's a whole, like an accordion. I said that and people were like, yeah. And I was like, and now this, I'm like, see, it's crazy. It's always been crazy. Why did you like it before?
Here's why, actually, because I like Grant Morrison's writing a lot, and I do feel like Seven Soldiers is different from this, is that Seven Soldiers was coherent, at least. This is choppy across the board.
And Seven Soldiers is broken up into, easily digestible chunks.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
This is fucking nuts.
And this is a mega story that's taken, 30 issues to make no sense still one issue from the end.
And even the very last page, he's like, now do you get it? The characters are saying.
All the characters are like, oh, he gets it now. He gets it. Now you get it. Now you get it. And the reader were like,
it's the right. He's the last, very last panel. It's a black panel that says, a bubble that says, now do you get it?
Now do you get it?
And it's like, fuck you.
Well, then the next page is, no, I don't get it.
So, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know anything. What do you say? How do you like it or no? I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm going to pick up the next one and see how it ends, and hopefully I'll be able to get it.
If the next one is spectacular, you're going to be like, it was all worth it.
Wouldn't it be neat if after the next one you realized you had actually gotten it all along?
Oh! Wait, I get it!
Would you say pick this up?
Well, at this point, just wait until someone tells you about it and then decide if you want to go read it.
I would like to read this in a collective volume.
Yeah,
I think it would benefit from it.
There was a real touching moment
unless it's 32 pages of Grant Morrison in the next issue going, ha ha.
Yeah, fooled you.
This is nothing.
There's a real touching moment with Batmite and Batman.
What?
I think that must be the first time in history that sentence.
Yeah.
Where he's, Batman's going to go in for the final battle. I can't stop saying that. But, he's like, aren't you coming with me? Batmite's like, you have to do this alone, man. And they were just kind of like,
would you say that Batmite passed the bat to Todd?
I don't know if we want to go down this road, guys.
We're getting battered with waste.
Those are driving you batty.
No more.
All right, that's the last bat.
No.
Yeah.
No,
we're
not talking about
that.
This is all vocal masturbation.
Cable, guys, because we're going to talk about Cable number 7. What did you guys think about this issue?
I love this. I think this has been great. It's been getting better and better.
Well,
the last big one-shot that came out last month was fantastic, and this is better.
It sucked in the beginning, but now it's really starting to get its feet.
You mean the first few issues?
Yes.
I think you're wrong. I think the series has been fantastic. The art has been excellent. The writing has been excellent. My interest in a Cable series is about like this much. And this has been great across the board. Really, really interesting character moments throughout. Great single issues as well. I love it.
What's nice is the pacing of it. As opposed to a book like, say, Batman, where it's like everything's happening at once and it's up to the reader to just like sift through this madness. This is like very kind of sparse at the beginning and kind of this is what's happening and it slowly pulls you along and you know the characters and whatnot. It's a really nice read.
No, I disagree. In the beginning, it was just him fucking babysitting and shooting people. And then it started to...
You like half of that. You like the whole half of that.
I like the shooting people, yes, but I don't
I was thinking the babysitting. No. I barely know you.
Here's what I love about the book. First of all, the premise is basically about a child abductor who's being chased through time by a child killer. And I think that's just great for kids. And really, it teaches you so many lessons. And I like it, except I just sort of want to get to the, like, you know, it's just like The Fugitive, and it's sort of like, all right, like, I feel like it's going to, I'm worried it's going to go the Richard Corbin Hulk thing, right, where, like, okay, it's fun for a few issues to play the fugitive thing, but then when you realize, well, they're never going to catch the one-armed man, like,
he's a one-armed man.
Oh,
it's a metal arm. You got it. We just got it.
By the way, can anybody tell me why he's named Cable, though? Like, is there something...
It's Rob Liefeld's fault.
His
arm is named Cable.
No, but or like maybe they should just update him to like satellite or like, you know, broad
DVR.
High definition.
You know,
yes. Well, in February 2009, he's not going to be around anymore because everything's changing to digital. So they're just trying to get these last.
I know.
Deep reference.
I didn't like the fact that right off the bat, I felt compelled to do math because it says now with 400% more X-Men. And I wanted to know how many X-Men were in the previous book. We might have to count the X-Men in this book.
Math is never a good thing.
I don't like math.
It's actually just 4 more people from the last one.
Yeah, so it's actually incorrect. It's not.
Well, but technically, I mean, Bishop was in there. He's an X-Man.
Yeah, okay.
So, I mean,
would you consider him an X-Man anymore? Because he's kind of, you know,
no,
against them.
Well, he's still...
Let's say he's like 50% of an X-Man.
Oh, nice. Okay. So there were 100... There were...
No, come on,
there
stop.
There are 1.5 X-Men in the book.
Right.
And now you have X-Force. Are they counted as X-Men?
Well, then you would need another half of an X-Men.
I think my point is proven.
This is interesting.
What a great book. You'd say pick it up?
Credit default spot.
Yeah, pick it up.
Yes, pick it up. It's great.
Is there a trade of that?
The art is perfect.
I think there's...
October coming out soon.
Yeah, it's coming soon. Yes, cool. Let's move on. Talk about Justice League of America number 25. If you have any other specific questions about trade printing schedules, just ask it out.
Yeah. And someone from the audience will answer. Most Justice likely League. Your mom.
Whoa. No, literally, totally about that.
Slam, yeah.
No, slam. No, it wasn't a slam.
I think it was.
All right.
Ready, listen again. Your mom.
Well, that's a slam to me because my mom is not here.
If she was, I would slam her. Vocally. Vocally.
When the bit starts out bad, don't keep going. Just let
good.
It go. Just
get
let
good.
It go.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
going,
like your mom.
this book.
I'm gonna leave.
Yeah. Justice League of America number 25 is terrible. Go.
True. It's been this is supposed to be the flagship title of the DC universe, sort of, and it's not. It's not good. It's all over the place. We've been forced to care about the Vixen character for like 9 issues, and yeah, who is Vixen? She's a character.
Well, you have to.
The stories have been all.
I couldn't read it.
The whole last like 9 issues have been the underlying arc has been she doesn't have her powers and she's been
stealing
powers from everyone else in the Justice League.
And yeah, stealing's not right. And then so everybody in the Justice League was like, whoa, you need
Sweet.
To be punished.
Can the Justice League use their powers while Vixen steals them?
Yeah. Yes,
they're a little bit weak.
Yeah, they're not. Yeah, they're not 100%.
Yeah,
so she's rogue.
Yeah, that's the thing. She's basically like any other.
But it turns out that the reason this is happening is because there's a giant spider god who tells stories that did that to her.
Anansi's inside her totem.
Probably.
And he's tricking her. Because that's what he does. We don't know how yet. But somehow.
You gotta be kidding me.
No, straight up.
Here's the deal. It's a new Justice League villain. That's how they've been trumpeting it. Anansi, and he's one of those all-powerful villains who can do absolutely everything you want, and this, to me, is the most aggravating type of villain in comics.
Yeah.
Because you know there's going to be some ridiculous way that they trick him somehow and be like, oh, I'll get you next time, Justice League.
Plus, he's trapped in a tiny...
I wish they would do that. That would be awesome.
Shoot their fists. He's trapped in a tiny necklace as well, which I don't get. And then Animal Man's there, and now they're saying that Animal Man's origin with the yellow aliens, which is interesting and popular, isn't true. In this, and so it's all over
they
the
leave
place.
A, to be fair, they leave a little bit of an out there where they're like, oh, those yellow aliens, they're actually me, the spider god. But maybe they weren't because I lie all the time.
Yeah.
Terrible storytelling.
And then there's a whole line about Tornado freaking watching other Justice League members get it on.
What?
And then turns around and be like, I think I understand humans now, and then proposes.
Yeah.
So it's what? Like,
what
the hell?
That's how you propose.
Shut up.
Is there any way they can fix Justice League?
Yes, fire everyone and then rehire new people.
I can, and this is just my friend James Robinson will be taking over at some point, and he's probably drunk in Los Angeles right now and talking to Crypto. I would stake money on the fact that he is going to make that book kick ass.
See, I love him, but I think his Superman run has been kind of lackluster.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Totally.
We actually slammed it last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm interested to see him on here, but I don't know.
You
get anything you're eager?
No.
Huh?
Do you get anything? Or is it
Oh, man. You can't keep it on him, alright?
Crypto had a cape, goddamn.
No, first of all, I
what's
actually
that? What do you mean I don't get? What's
you
that to get?
I don't know about this one, the other one you don't know. And
I know about. I know about all these.
What do you
mean?
I don't know.
I happen to like what James is doing on Superman. And I wouldn't say that about all of my friends in comics work, but I think I think it's really good. I think Superman sort of needed. I don't know. I also knowing what he's done on Starman, I trust that.
I know, and that's I love Starman, and that's
change.
Why I think this
I don't,
has been
I don't know
so
what
weird.
Didn't you. I mean, I'd just be curious what you didn't like.
Dog.
It's
I don't know, but be more specific. Like be more.
All right, it was a cool idea that hey, Superman should be like, hey, give it up for my dog. But he was screaming at random streamers, strangers to be like, show some love for my goddamn dog. And it was like, whoa.
Well, and for me, Starman was all about the detail work and very, like, moment to moment. And this seems more washed out and more general. And this Atlas villain, we don't know much about him, and it's herky-jerky in the storytelling of it. And I don't know, that's just my criticism.
What was that?
When people say something, I point.
What do you mean by these people?
I meant any theory. Even on the street.
Do you think, the Batman, you said, because that was like also kind of choppy, I think you said that.
Mm-hmm.
So is that like something that, in Superman as well, and the Batman are both kind of choppy? So
In different ways. This has a lot of information coming at you without any basis for it. Yeah. Well, the Superman book, it'll go for, like, in the when they were explaining Atlas's origin. You hear about Superman and their battle, then all of a sudden it'd be off in, like, a memory of Atlas. And then back to the battle, and it didn't flow.
I think my problem particularly with that title is that I don't think James Robinson's tone matches Superman. Is what I would say specifically. Like, I think the reason that Starman and a lot of his other work is so great is because it's very character-based work, and it's very... slow is the wrong word because I don't want to make it sound like it's dragging. It's not. It's just, it's very careful.
Well, moment to moment. Like,
yes, exactly. I think with Superman, you just have to be big and bombastic and over the top.
What I would say is I think what he and Jeff are doing, what my counterpoint to that is, would just be that point counter. But I think what they are doing is slowly building up the supporting characters, of which Crypto is one. And I agree with you. I mean, the issue is basically about that particular issue is basically just about, like, you know, you can't count on anybody but your dog. I really think that's what it's about. But it's a science piece. And no, well, I read into that what you might about it. I think that he and Jeff are, like, and especially I think you'll see a lot of stuff with Olsen. I think it's, and if you're reading, an interesting thing would be simultaneously, like, read the Kirby omnibus and the Starman omnibus, and I think it may make more sense where he's going. So basically, spend $100 more.
That's a good trick.
Cool. We're going to move on to talk about Four Eyes, number one.
Yeah.
Boy and His Dragon. Pete, you were really looking forward to this. What do you think?
Yeah, I really enjoy Joe Kelly's I Kill Giants. Really very creative, very different. What I also like about this is he's focusing a little bit on seeing things through a kid's perspective. And it's kind of interesting the fact that, like, it's the Depression. People are struggling with jobs. But dragons are real. And no one's really addressing that. But it's through the perspective of the kid, so it's understandable. But the artwork is really different than I Kill Giants, but also very enjoyable, very detailed, very cool. It's kind of a fun, creative book about Kid and His Giant. Kid and His Dragon, yeah. So I'm excited to see, you know, because it's just giving the backstory of the family right now, and then you just get the dragons at the end, but I'm excited to see how it unfolds.
Yeah, it's probably more dragons.
Yeah, there's a dragon, like Fight Club. At the end.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's great. This was a weird issue for me, actually, I have to say. I like the idea. I thought it was interesting. The matter-of-fact way they dealt with the dragons was a little strange. Just because the first half of the issue isn't about dragons. They encounter dragon. There's a big dragon fight, big thing. And then the next scene is just them walking through the city, and there's, like, a dragon overhead. Mm-hmm. So it seems like there's a big deal that there's this dragon in this cave that this guy is going after, but... then it's actually not, because everybody knows about dragons and totally doesn't care about them.
Yeah. I think there's a progression there. Like, I think maybe dragons came... Well, I mean, we'll find out when we...
No, I don't think we will.
I think when the end times come, you're going to have a really difficult time adjusting. There may not be an explanation for all, you know...
There better be. or I'm not doing it.
Wait a second here!
Would you say pick it up?
Yeah, it's a good read.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right, let's move on to talk about DC Universe Decisions, number two, bringing politics to the DC Universe,
all right,
where it doesn't belong.
yeah.
What do you guys think about this? We're pretty hard on the first issue.
Yeah, we were a little hard on the first issue, and I feel like this issue does a better job of taking the idea. Like, the last one ended with Green Arrow accidentally backed a candidate.
Accidentally? So, well, he did. I mean, he
yeah, but he didn't. He wasn't like going to be. He wasn't out to do that. He kind of said some stuff, and then they were like, "So you're in support?" And he was like, "Yeah, I guess I am." So this, the idea was, all right, if he's going to back somebody, instead of just having one superhero be the voice of everybody, everybody just kind of backs a candidate, which I feel like is a good idea. Instead of it being just about like one, they just kind of flooded the idea, so it's not so, you know.
My biggest problem with this book right now, and I do actually feel that this was more cohesive than the last issue, which was a gigantic mess, is... Yes. I only have one criticism. Either it's choppy or it's good.
Yeah.
Is...
Or unchoppy is how we say good.
I don't remember what I was going to say.
Sorry.
No, that's fine.
The first issue was a mess?
Yeah, the first issue, I don't remember it beyond that.
I like the idea. I like having having characters choose, get into politics a little bit. I mean, obviously the two writers are into that and having that be a real thing in the DC universe. But it's really out of character, I think. At the end, you see Bruce Wayne backing a candidate, and it's like, is there an underlying thing here? When through the whole first half of the second issue, he's like, this is wrong. We shouldn't be doing this. And then he's like, never mind. So it doesn't really follow. And Hawkman's like, I think I'm going to back this candidate. When you're like, Hawkman? He sits in his museum all day.
Yeah, also, how much of a backing is that?
Yeah.
You're a candidate. It's like, oh, there's a violent guy who bashes people with maces.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Well, the baseball is a big constituency in this country.
Yeah.
So, I have a question. Was it the Bruce Wayne of Senator R who backed the candidate, or was it...
Ooh, that's
good
a good question.
Point.
That's a good question.
It was a Bruce Wayne of a well-pressed suit.
Yes. This is mildly better. At least it's kind of, it was very confusing also in the first issue because you have Judd Winnick and Bill Willingham who are very well aware of what's going on in the DC Universe as if they had never heard of these characters before.
Yeah.
At least in this one you have, with Green Arrow, you have him talking to Black Canary about it. Somebody mentions that he was a mayor at one point, which the first issue, they're like, Green Arrow, interested in politics, and when? Which is crazy.
What do you guys think of this idea? Or if you read
it? I think the characters, even if they haven't overtly backed politicians before, they've always had political leanings, especially Green Arrow and Hawkman. And even Batman backed Harvey Dent at one point. So
in the movie, I think that was...
Well,
and in Two-Face Year One.
Two-Face Year One. So. It's not like it's unprecedented.
Chill.
Did you say pick this up?
Perfect.
Thank you. It's not great, but it's not great.
Cool. I think that stands. Let's move on and talk about No Hero number one. Now, somebody was mentioning something interesting about how this is printed. Who was that again?
Me.
Not me.
David.
Yeah. Cool. Anyway, these smell funny because they're printed in Korea, is what I heard.
Wow!
I didn't say it.
Cool. Go get him.
Which Korea? Like, that's sort of important.
There's two. Oh.
Well, if it's North Korea, I mean, that's
probably South Korea, I think.
Apparently, they use a very cheap printing process and it smells interesting.
I feel like for this book, if you liked Black
I
Summer,
bring that up again.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Well, I think it's interesting about this printing process.
They take it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pass it around.
That's right.
We
usually discuss about comics is how they smell.
Yeah.
Rarely, only on this show.
Do you guys want to talk about something else?
Please.
No, I feel like if you like Black Summer, you're going to like this book because it's very much in the same vein as that.
It looks and reads the very same as Black Summer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little... It's
isn't it the same artist and writer? I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
And it's about normal people getting...
Nothing.
A lot of... Well, I mean...
No, say what you
want to say. It's not like everything Warren Ellis writes sounds... Or reads the same. This just doesn't.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just being a jerk.
Hey, we're gonna fight jerks. You are. Yeah,
we are.
But it's definitely. I feel like if you just came off of Black Summer, which I personally very much enjoyed, I feel like if you're the same writer, same artist, maybe you would want to try to do something a little different. But they decided to kind of keep it along the same style, which is fine. But I would have liked to have seen a little bit more of a difference instead of like the, we hate the government, we hate this, we hate that, we're going to change. That's why I feel like it's the same as Black Summer. That being said, I feel like it's interesting. I'm interested to see how it goes because there was a lot of hype behind it. I will pick up the next one, but I would like to see it separate itself a little bit more than Black Summer.
Cool. Weird chunky blood. That's all I'd say. All the blood that comes out of these guys is really chunky.
Yeah. I think you guys know what I think of the issue.
Choppy.
Wow.
Let's move on and talk about Supergirl number 34. This was my favorite issue of the week. What did you guys think of it?
I felt the same way. It's really nice. This is like a very different take on Supergirl in that she's being treated very innocently. Like, she makes mistakes. It's nice. It's the first issue, but they're very much picking up the same themes that were going in the book and the last writer. And it's great.
One of the great things about this book is it follows the theme of names throughout. Supergirl's trying to figure out, what her name should be, her secret identity name. She deals with a villain screaming Banshee who kills people by knowing their name. There's a lot more talk about names in there and what they mean. And it really follows... Am I putting somebody to sleep? Is that... it's very well written. It's a good single issue that also sets up a lot of nice stuff for Sterling Gates.
Yeah, basically in this, she picks a secret identity spoiler, and it's going to work at the planet with Clark and Lois Lane. So I feel like this, the last arc, I really didn't enjoy as much as this one. This one's doing a little bit better job of, instead of making Supergirl just like, isn't she dumb? She doesn't get it yet. What's going on Earth? I feel like this one's doing a little bit better job of, like, taking the fact that she's new and naive and making it a little bit more enjoyable to the reader.
I have an interesting perspective because I actually wrote an issue of, co-wrote or half, I think it was like a quarter wrote or something. They found this awful way of titling me.
This math is just
16
weird.
of Supergirl with Joe Kelly, actually, and it was just kind of a nightmare experience. It was continuity before it was bad. No, not working with Joe, but just the... It's, I shouldn't go into it. But anyway, but I went into it, and I had hopes for what I was going to do with the book, and I never got to do it. And then I found out, Sterling Gates is actually Jeff Johns, his intern assistant, and I read that like Jeff Johns' assistant was doing it. I was like, fuck, like this is just like that, like oh, I'm like, this is nepotism in this industry, and it's just like, is there any writer from Heroes that Jeff Loeb has not given a comic to? And I say that, and I read on Heroes, and they're all nice guys, but like I came in wanting to hate this comic because I read it, and it was really good, and it was like the best Supergirl's been in a really long time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, it's good to feel like when you lose out on a job to somebody, it's like, well, it's good to see he earned it on the merits, and I hope he doesn't, like, I've never met him, so, but I hope Sterling fans will give him a chance and not, like, sort of go into that with the, like, oh, the intern thing.
Well, it's nice their time, and this is becoming kind of real, it's becoming real close to the Superman thing, so it should, go for a while.
Yeah, it's great. Definitely pick it up.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Jamal Igel's doing a terrific job on it, too.
Oh, yeah, the art is
amazing.
Great.
It's great.
Fun book. Pick it up. Can't believe it. All right, let's move on. Last thing we need to talk about is Top 10 Season 2, Number 1. What'd you guys think about this?
I like this. I've never read Top 10 before, and there's a lot going on. Art is a little... I love Gene Ha and other stuff he does, and he does the panels look really... dense. There's a, like the backgrounds.
The art style in here is fascinatingly weird.
It's very weird, yeah.
Because there's very realistic. Whenever you have a close up on somebody, it's ultra realistic, very well shaded. And whenever somebody's in the background, they're essentially a cartoon. So it's a very weird contrast going on. And I would go as far to say it's actually distracting from the story a little bit because I was looking at that more than I was reading it. But it's interesting.
I think the art works well with the world it's creating because it's very, it's a different kind of futuristic world where a lot of people have powers and stuff like that, so I feel like the cartoony thing doesn't really throw me out as much as you guys, but I do, I did think it was a little bit like, hey, welcome to Crazy Town. We're going to try to ground this a little bit in some good story. I feel like it is a good story. It is kind of like a tale that's been told before where it's, you know, it's
a
police...
tale as old as time.
Yeah, where it's like...
as old as time.
It's like, yeah, it's, you know, it's a cop story where, oh, man,
there's
who's
like
the new guy?
And there's a beastly guy.
Yeah.
Pick it up. And that's it for the show. It's time for our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's audience questions. For that, we're going to bring up Booth Bass.
All right. Don't worry. I don't bite. So here's some questions that you guys wrote. And I picked... What is that noise?
Yeah, it's very sure.
Oh, man. that was weird. Here's the first question.
What have you been doing in the booth?
Have you been smelling this Korean comic book?
Yeah, I have my own comic.
Thank you for bringing that up again.
Okay. What comic got worse and worse after a great start?
Wow.
All of them.
I would say... Superman Batman for me was really like it started off really great and I was very into it and then it just kind of sucked after a while.
That's a good answer.
Going back a little bit, the Grant Morrison X-Men run started off really great and then after the artist started switching, the whole problem with that is.
I agree with you on that. Alex loved it.
I agree with that as well. That I think I still liked it throughout, but the beginning.
The first reveal is
awesome, and then afterwards, it's like, this is crazy!
Everything with Frank Quitely is awesome.
Yeah.
And then everything after that kind of just goes up.
Yeah, what, you don't like the Phoenix egg?
That was crazy.
Anybody else want to chime in on that?
I would say the original New Warriors. I really liked the first, like, 30 issues or so, and then I just couldn't read it after that.
Yeah, that got pretty bad.
Yeah.
Alpha Flight, after issue 12.
Yeah.
Well, no, seriously, the first 12 issues of Alpha Flight are excellent. Go back and read them, they're great. And then after that, it's just kind of repeating the same set.
Exiles, the Marvel book, was really good for a long time, and then got much worse.
I disagree with you on that.
We're different people.
Think about that.
As far as I know.
Anybody else?
See, I just thought that was a subtle dig at one of my books. But so I was just like,
it's a real subtle thing.
They're all done, so they're so. But no, I you know what? I'll throw out one that people will hate because it's a great book. But I thought Preacher really started out great, and then became one of
your mind starts taking a
twist. I know there's a friend of Garth Ennis here, and I love Garth Ennis.
Yeah. We're all friends of
Garth Ennis. I got drunk with him.
Garth Ennis is great. No, he's great.
That was
great
the
writer.
Last anyone ever saw of Mark Saber.
Hear me out on this, though. Yeah, it became like, it was so original and fresh, and then I think it became like, just sort of, just like, we're going to blow off somebody's head, and their face is going to be an ass, and then, like, variation on that. The first time that happened was great. But then
awesome.
It was like,
yeah.
There was a sausage factory making penises.
You are
and,
wrong.
You are wrong.
Everybody is entitled to one incorrect. Richard, after you ask the question, because Pete's got me a gift, and let's get the next question.
Yeah.
Woo. All right, next question. Please, it's not a question. Please pitch a Superman story right now.
No!
Okay. You had a Superman story the other day, right?
I think it was Batman.
No, he had a Superman story. It's like, yeah, Superman goes out and, like, crushes some people, and then he's like, look at what I did!
Brilliant.
And then he what?
So far.
Does he crush
Thanks,
Superman?
Alex.
I hope so.
That would be
carbon, right?
Diamond?
Thank you.
Yeah, of course
it
could.
Maybe a little diamond. Oh, go. Okay. So, this giant spaceship appears above Earth. All of a sudden, like, and it's got these great big cannons all over it, and everyone panics, and they're like, Superman, do something! So Superman flies out there, and it turns out to be this family of alien tourists, kind of like a Griswold space vacation thing. All those big cannons are just cameras. Right? So Superman ends up being their tour guide, and he's showing them around, and their little daughter has a crush on superheroes, so she's like, oh, Superman.
And they, it turns out they've been on vacation for centuries, just traveling around, hitting all this different planets in the DC universe.
Did they ever go to Krypton?
And yeah, they go to Krypton. They're like, oh, you're from Krypton. Oh, let's show them the footage. And he sees this footage of Krypton.
Ooh, touching.
Yeah,
that's
and he's like,
good.
Yeah, you know, we met some superheroes on Krypton too. And he's like, oh, really? Yeah, look, here's Flamebird and Nightwing. Right.
Wow.
Yeah. And then maybe it turns out Nightwing is actually Dick Grayson. He's like, what? So he goes and he finds Dick Grayson. He's like, hey, were you ever on Krypton? He's like, no. And he goes, well, you might be someday. And then maybe 10 years maybe 10 years down the line, I write a little Nightwing story where he goes back in time to Krypton and he starts like fighting around as Nightwing and he gets a sidekick named Flamebird. That's my pitch.
Nice, that's great. Deep. That's a deep pitch. Oh, wow. Elaborate.
It needs to be as elaborate.
Okay. Well, my first one was going to be just like, why are there no black Kryptonians? Like, I've never seen one.
There's just no black people in general.
Yes.
You wrote Cyborg.
I
wrote Cyborg.
But he's only half black because he's covered in metal. They don't
see what I mean? You don't want to get full black.
No, but my serious one, here's what it would be. And it doesn't probably have any touching moments. It's just, so Lex Luthor, and I just may have been done with it. Like, Lex Luthor, like, goes back in time and then builds a spaceship and goes to Krypton. And then on Krypton, because it's the red sun there, gives him superpowers. So he's like Superman on Krypton. And he saves Krypton from blowing up.
Nice.
And then there's the time paradox thing always screws everything up. So.
Yeah.
Just, but
that's cool, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe Dick Grayson can stop his nefarious scheme.
Crossover.
Raise your hand if you ask that, and let's get one more question.
Alright. Let's see here.
For you.
Which comic character?
That was
would
the creepiest thing I've ever
heard. Well, I've got a prize for you.
Okay.
It's a Futurama toy.
Not the prize, the way you said it.
Which comic character would you support for president?
Wow.
Captain America. Who else?
Yeah. You got to.
That's easy.
He's dead.
What?
I think realistically, the Punisher would make the best.
I'm glad you had it realistically.
That's not the same we did.
That's great.
Would you want to take away my guns, though?
Yeah.
He wouldn't take them away. Yeah. He'd shoot you in the face.
To be fair, he majored in macroeconomics. It's a little known Punisher fact. I'm sure people don't know.
I don't think any superheroes are appropriate at all.
Well,
that being said, Batman, I guess.
Batman,
Bruce
definitely.
Batman.
Yeah.
You'd have to, I mean.
He's a gazillionaire.
He
has unlimited funds. He can battle anybody in any state, anywhere.
That's my Bulgar.
You can actually see Russia from the
government. We already got that. He's the mayor of New York.
Tomorrow they're releasing two comic books about McCain and or one each, McCain and Obama, going through their it's like their biography comic book.
Yeah, it shows how Barack Obama, there was a radioactive spill and that's how he did his change powers.
Yeah, he was bitten by a radioactive change bug. His whole car was changed.
And then he got a Blue Lantern, right?
And McCain was bitten by a bug that makes him age.
So yeah, I was going to say that McCain's book is in really large print, and it's for really mature readers.
Yeah. And a lot of lines are repeated.
McCain does actually have sort of like a superhero origin. Like, you know, it's like he crashed his plane and then like the Viet Cong tortured him and then he thought that was then an excuse to just do anything he wanted.
See, I think that more of a super villain origin, really.
Or the Punisher.
Yeah. Pete, are you voting for McCain? A vote for McCain is a vote for Punisher.
That's my new platform. Who asked that question?
Your new platform. Yikes.
All right, and that's it for your audience questions. Thank you. All right, it is time for for our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah!
First thing we are going to talk about on the Week in Geek is Heroes. New episode last night. Yeah. But before we say anything about that, Mark.
I've had the absolute pleasure of writing the webcomic, some, not all of them, but a number of the webcomics for Heroes, which are free. You can go to NBC.com and read them. And that's been kind of cool. They've been really nice to me. So I can't bag on the show.
Wow, but you want to, right?
Let's put it this way. I won't say anything that the creator hasn't said, which was a good first season, except for the last episode. This is second season, not so much. This last season, I only saw that one night of episodes, the premiere. I thought they were. Yeah, was it three? I thought it was six. Yeah.
I think it was like 8 hours.
Yeah, it was
a 24-hour replay.
I think it's still up.
Yeah.
Are we missing it?
Like, you know, George Takei can do no wrong for me.
That's what I was going to say. George Takei on the show, that's the only highlight.
Oh, my. Yeah. You know,
just a hero, too.
What, how much coordination goes on between the webcomic and the main show?
Like, a ton, actually. And it was... they consider the webcomic canon, so which means like they're really on top of you and like nothing can screw with it. On the other hand, they consider it canon, so like the fans really treat it seriously, and their fans are like, it's insane the number of, obviously people who watch, there's so many more, like probably people watch more people watch one episode of Heroes than probably read every comic book.
I think Heroes is really representing the industry.
It's doing that, but because of that, it's like you go on NBC site and it you can't keep up with the comments on it. Both good and bad. So that's my
yes.
Experience.
Very cool.
That is cool.
I thought the episode of that last night was better than the ones before.
It's interesting you thought that.
It was a little more, there was kind of more of a focus on that one.
No, there wasn't.
There was a bit of a focus.
Nope.
In the future, they did this thing with the future.
No.
40 years in the future.
Well, they did that.
There were a lot of characters. You remember
too
that
many.
Part?
Yeah.
There was some running around.
Yeah, too much.
And then Parkman is like...
yeah, it was.
And he's following a turtle, which was my favorite scene. He's just like... Turtle takes two steps and then he takes two steps. I was like, wow, this is great.
Bearded. I did think it was better.
Some people.
And I hope it continues to get better. Because the problem with the series right now is there's so much continuity.
Just say it would be interesting if it keeps going in the direction it keeps going.
Wow. Okay. That's pretty certainly great. Are you guys watching Heroes?
Yes. Yeah. I saw the last episode and I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
I mean, he told me horror stories about the first two episodes. And then it came on, and I was expecting it to be, like, total crap. There were some parts
okay.
I didn't like. Parts where obvious use of superpowers could have prevented some things.
Yeah.
Some parts I didn't understand.
They
like,
had talked about...
Like, Claire threatening Peter with a gun.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
yeah.
The
doesn't
gun actually
have Claire's Peter, so
but
obviously...
I don't understand why. Doesn't he have Claire's power?
But he was very surprised by the gun.
Yeah. Did you like the part, and I understand there's limitations in terms of special effects budget, when they're like, in this future, everybody could fly, and then the people flew off like, whee!
Well, they could fly like Peter Pan, like Sandy Duncan is Peter Pan. I don't know, I think they
I would just say I can't necessarily posit in my head the way that the show could get worse. Let's move on. Talk about Hackslash. Hackslash. This is kind of interesting news. Hackslash is doing a crossover with reanimated H.P. Lovecraft story / movie. There's a copyright dispute. To boil it down, essentially Hackslash is being released not through Diamond for the next two issues, 16 and 17, and a lot of people are saying that after that, they don't know if Hackslash will be able to be published anymore.
So please go out and get it. So it doesn't.
Due to the copyright issue and also due to the fact having, you know, without, this is not slagging anything off, but like a mid-level independent comic,
that doesn't set a lot of issues, that not being able to go through Diamond means you're not going to be able to be sold at most comic book stores, which might hurt sales significantly.
How do you do without Diamond? Like newsboys run around delivering?
It counts, see? It counts.
How does that bypass copyright thing? I don't understand.
That's another entire other problem. Basically, what happened was they got permission from the creator of the Reanimator movies to do a Reanimator crossover. He was like, "Yeah, go for it." Now, recently,
Stuart Gordon?
Maybe
that was the director.
That's the director.
The director. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just
It's somebody with a crazy name, like Tyler Heisluplegel. That's a crazy name.
Ryan Yuzna, I think.
Guzna. Yes, that is kind of a crazy name.
That doesn't everybody.
This is really boring.
We can move on. I'll find out later.
Yeah. Okay. Essentially, somebody else owns the copyright to the Reanimator name. They're like, hey, you can sell the issue, but for $2 each. The problem with that was then they could use the issues of Hackslash as backing up their claim to the copyright, which they didn't want to give them, etc. I guess my question is, do you think a comic could survive under these circumstances?
I think we'll find out, but I feel like it's really... No, it can't, because when a comic depends on Diamond List to sell, to make all its money, and it doesn't get on that, people may or may not pick it up or may or may not.
It just depends how loyal a fan base is. If they can come back after a 2-month break like that, maybe. It does have a very loyal fan base.
I think they should try, though, if nothing else. I think it could possibly be horrible for them, but getting around Diamond in any way possible, it's a good thing. They're just a monopoly in the industry.
I'm telling you, newsboys.
I've got a friend who's actually fighting with Diamond right now.
Yeah.
My friend Howie Knoll has a book called Mr. Scoodles, and Diamond called him up and said, you're not going to be in the catalog anymore. And then he fought with them, and now he's back in the catalog. But they want his sales to go up. So everybody go out and order Mr. Scoodles.
That's a great name.
Same thing happened with Sparks.
Yeah.
Apparently they weren't... they got told they weren't going to be on the next Diamond List, so they were like...
Apparently things with the letter K in the name don't do well.
Great, you're quite a detective.
thank you. Thank you so much. That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me. I really appreciate that.
I'm full of confidence.
We're going to move on to the next topic, which is The Graysons was announced this week. This is a possible...
Wouldn't do well in Diamond.
No. What? There was no K's in it.
That's why I wouldn't do well.
Yeah.
No,
okay.
Would you well?
Yes. You are not a detective.
I think we can all agree on that.
Basically, it would follow young Dick Grayson before he met Batman, traveling around the world with
why is that interesting?
Well, that's my question.
The interesting part is the Batman part.
Yeah.
Right. You don't think circus...
A show about a family of circus trapeze artists, and that sounds kind of...
Yeah, cool. Traveling around solving mysteries.
Did you say Call It In?
Is
that how TV works?
It kind of feels tacked on,
What, the Batman angle?
Yeah.
If you're not getting up to the point where they die, then, I guess that is kind of...
Well, it's like
you don't
like...
To be fair, they're also taking out the circus angle.
What?
Then
it's just...
They're just a nice family.
Yeah, they're just a family, and eventually
it becomes... They're not flying Graysons?
But they're the walking. They're the walking.
Because really, the thing that Carnival, I think, was missing was Dick Grayson. But see, my understanding of the series was it was going to be Devin Grayson actually writing slash fiction about Nightwing. So that's no.
Cool. Well, that solves that problem. And that's it for the week in Geek.
This is the part where we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for coming. This is the opportunity for someone to win a gift card for $25 to Midtown Comics. Who would like a chance to win $25? Simply raise your hand. Yes, you, sir. First hand up. Come on down.
Yeah.
What's your name, sir?
Dion.
Dion? Audience, Dion? Step over this way, sir. All right, so how this is going to work is I'm going to read you three questions. Then after each question, you will have three multiple choice answers. Pick the correct one, get all three right. The gift card is yours. So today's trivia is going to be on Fool Killer.
Oh, shit.
Here we go.
What?
The first appearance of Fool Killer was in 1974's A, Man-Thing number 3, B, Spider-Man number 225, or C, Man, Who Are All These Foolish People number 4? So it's either A, Man-Thing, or it's B.
Oh, man.
Some might want to go with A.
I'm going to say A.
A is correct! One for one.
Also a detective.
The Fool Killer originally had a ray gun, which was his A, retribution ray, B, purification gun, or C, super soaker filled with Jesus juice. So it's either A, the retribution ray, or B, the purification gun.
I'm going with B. Oh! Marvel cards. I had Fool Killer.
Okay.
Generation 1.
Fool Killer used to give fools a card and 24 hours to get it together. Now, the Fool Killer just A, kills them and leaves a tarot card of a fool on it, or B, kills them and writes fool on the body, or C, kills them and then feels really bad about it. So it's either A, kills them and leaves a tarot card, or B, kills them and writes fool on some part of the body, which would take a lot of time and probably cops would come, so that really wouldn't make too much sense.
I'm going to go with A.
A is correct! Yay! Wow! There you go. You were worried. Oh, see that? Yes!
Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. What are you guys looking forward to, Pete?
Magneto, the Testament. I can't remember the exact title.
Close enough. Number two.
Greg Pak is doing an amazing job telling Magneto's origin story in a very cool way, and the art is fantastic. I'm really excited. I think he's doing a hell of a job with it.
It's a great book. I'm looking forward to 12 number 8 from Marvel as well. Nice. It's a great book.
Yeah.
It continues to get better.
Cool. Secret 6 number 2. Yes. I love Secret 6. It's awesome. Second issue. Yay.
Yeah, they are doing it.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to Two-Face year 1.
Friendship!
Everyone was solid. There's a new RAP Detective Comics. Is this the one where it makes sense? Is that the one?
No.
No, that's the one where a guy has stolen Catwoman's heart.
It's a little choppy.
Same pain.
He's not even listening.
Mark,
I'm gonna get him out.
After pouring through the voluminous list of things coming out next week, it's clear that the thing I'm most looking forward to is Jenna Jameson's 16 month calendar.
I think you're all bad. Here's my question. Where does that fit into her continuity?
That was what I was thinking. I want to say
she quit the business now.
Yeah. I think it's just really important that we all buy it, because if somebody is to tell her that there's not 16 months in a year, terribly. So just we all should buy it.
Well, the pornographic year is 16 months.
It's fiscal. Paul, what are you looking forward to?
BPRD is always good.
Yeah.
True. With especially the 1946 series.
Yes.
Awesome. I did.
Cool. And you want to plug something you have coming up?
Yeah. Well, Fool Killer, fourth issue. I think that's come out here, right? Nope. I don't know when they come out. I just draw them. But yeah, and then actually I'm doing a Potter's Field thing with Mark Waid, which we did a 3-issue run a while ago. And we're going to do one more issue, possibly with a few extra pages, and then collect it into a trade next year. So Mark Waid is awesome.
Yes.
Mark, want to plug something coming up?
Besides the Two-Face, which thank you for plugging in, besides Grounded and Hazed are in trade, and please buy them. I'm speaking of Mark Wade, I'm doing my next Create Your Own book is going to be a book called Unthinkable.
I'd just like to say that there's a connection there again. So yeah, I worked with Mark Wade and then Create Your Own.
Wow.
You guys have a bittersweet relationship.
Bittersweet.
Oh, I wonder what that's like.
Yeah.
That's an example.
I
that
so want to do another book with Paul, and so that's
so
really
why
it
is.
You don't want to do a book?
Timothy Brothers. Plug some.
Night Owls, the new page every Tuesday and Thursday. It's free online at zudacomics.com.
Yeah.
You read that the day before Comics Day, and then the day after Comics
Day. Nice. Oh, that's a good way of remembering it. Yeah. Next week, we're going to have two amazing guests on the show. I'm going to pronounce both of the names incorrectly, but Eric Schnauer, who does Age of Bronze, is going to be on the show. And Jacob, I really want to call him Chatbot, but it's Shabot. Or Shabot?
Shabot.
Mighty Skullboy Army, both of them are going to be on the show. That should be fun.
Yeah.
You can check us out almost every day of the week at youtube.com/comicbookclub. A couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank the Timidies for being on the show.
Wow, great song, Booth Man.
Always a pleasure, man.
Love Brandy.
I love this show. It's a great show.
Oh, we love having you. You guys are so fun.
They're real funny.
Hey, man. You guys are so funny.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you.
I just try to swear.
Yeah, man, I really.